welcome to the Cat Attack podcast post home and away season. The Cats are on top, Cat fans, so get your helmets on, top of the table. I don't think many would have predicted the Cats to be on top, given their particularly their start to the season. Ben Casanelia with you, and I'm joined by, well, we've got a very special guest in the studio. Before we get to him, K-Rock's number one caller, it is 7 or 8 links to the second best caller, Tom King.
Thank you, Benny. Lovely to be here. Wrapped to have this bloke.
Some of the girls have come out of the office, though, just to see. They don't usually do that when you get here, Kitty, but they've just poked their heads out of the doors just to see what's going on. We're talking about the man who wears number 8 for the Cats. He's played 90 games, former Tasmanian, and he's made his home now in Geelong and has established himself as one of the fine defenders in the competition. Jake Colajasny joins us. Jake, welcome to the Cat Attack podcast.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Kerr's higher style. Now, we'll get the hard footy questions out of the way first.
Yeah.
Are you still living by yourself?
I am, mate. I currently am.
So when you're just sort of brewing up your risotto, your chicken and mushroom risotto, you'd have plenty of time to sort of, when you're walking from the kitchen into the lounge room, how many times have you commentated your first goal in footy?
Look, I've speculated over a number of times. I've obviously talked to the boys a lot, what I'm going to celebrate, what I'm going to do.
What are you going to do? You don't want to give it away, but you had plenty of time to think about it.
Oh, I think I'm just going to go with the flow, whatever the motions are going on in the game. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting one. Hey, aeroplane? Oh, maybe just the double covers, mate. I'll keep it simple. I'm a simple bloke, so.
Did you think life wasn't fair when you saw Geordie Clark get that handball from Tom Hawkins?
Oh, that was a gift. I was talking to him after the game. I wish I had one of those myself, mate. And
You've kicked 7 behinds. Is there one of those behinds you'd like to have back? Is there one? I missed that. That was a gettable one.
There's one specific one in, I think it was Adelaide prelim when we lost over there. I think I was playing on the wing at the time. I had a running shot at goal and it wasn't the best kick off the boot. It sort of faded. It sort of drew and shaved the post. And if it was 2 centimetres more to the left, it would have went straight in. So I do dwell on that one a bit.
Did you go score review?
No, there was no need. It definitely clipped the post, mate. But
do you want to kick one though in a game? When did was that? What stage of the game was it? I can't remember what stage. Was it the game done and dusted by then?
I think it was probably in the third quarter.
Yep.
I was saying to the boys, hopefully that would have got them up and about and got the energy going a little bit if I did kick one. But I think it was a pretty fair deficit, I think, at the time.
Yeah. And then you go and watch Friday night and, Saturday night rather, and Zach Tui gets swung forward in the last 2 weeks. He bobs up, kicks a couple. He hasn't kicked one all year. This is just criminal.
Oh, mate. Oh, Reggie, he's a good fellow and he can play forward, back. He's really damaging. He can hit the scoreboard, like you said. And, I just need to get one myself.
How much crap do you actually cop? Do you cop, mate? Do the boys rib you? Like, is it a weekly thing? Do they show a highlight of you in a game trying to get forward when you shouldn't? Do they do? How does it work? Because I'd imagine it's one of those things that keeps footy clubs going, that friendly banter, that bit of stick and stuff. And I'd imagine, unfortunately for you, it's the fact you haven't kicked a goal. But do you create a bit of fun within the group?
Yeah, the club's been pretty good about it. It sort of did get mentioned around my 50-game mark. I wasn't even thinking about the situation at all. And I think Scotty bring it up in the meeting. I think I was playing on the wing at the time up in Brisbane. I had a left foot snap and Hawkey's marked it on the line. And the stats got brought up in the meeting that the all-time record for games played without a goal was 180. Someone, Potter, I think his name was. So I was getting called Potsy for a bit there. And yeah, and every time I sort of get close or kick it behind, it always gets brought up in meetings and they have a bit of fun with it. And they give my total games played and how close I'm getting to the record. And it's just a bit of friendly banter.
I was just going to say, Gary Malarkey is the record at Geelong with 172 games.
Yep.
Bruce Morrison, 130 games, no goals. Third, Jay Colajasny.
Oh, there you go.
Well, you won't remember this man, but Rod Carter played for South Melbourne in Sydney. His name was Tilt, played fullback.
Yep.
He was a really good player, really. He was a bit like you, BHP, just sort of the quiet achiever. He, 215 games it took him. Well, he played 2.14, his 215th game he kicked.
Go.
Yeah, and you know what the teammates did for him?
I'm not sure, mate.
I've got no idea either. But it'd be exciting, I would have thought. Imagine they
I can remember it. Warwick Kappa actually gave him the handball. They were playing Melbourne at the SCG. I actually remember it. And they gave him the handball, and they absolutely mobbed him.
I could imagine. 215 games. There's a couple of other players, too, who took. Well, interestingly, you would have taken note, Jake, or maybe you didn't. Because do you watch a lot of footy?
Every now and then.
So Oscar McDonald kicked his first goal.
Actually, I did tune in for that one.
A few weeks ago, 73 games, and he kicked a ripper. It wasn't just your regulation sort of set. Shot 20 out.
Yep.
He balked about nine blokes and then snapped it over his head. It was goal of the day,
I think,
on K-Rock footy. But there's been a couple of others. Mel Michael, who was a, I don't know if you remember Mel Michael, absolute star for the Brisbane Lions and Collingwood. He might have had a stint at Essendon too, but he was most famously known as being the fullback for the Brisbane Lions during their three-peat. It took him 87 games.
And, of course, he so badly wanted a goal that he kicked one through for the opposition.
He did.
In a game. We actually turned around and the rush behind was from about 20 out and he actually dobbed it.
Did he really?
Yeah, just he had nothing going forward, so he goes, oh, we'll just reset.
Straight the goose the other way.
Turned around, put it through.
What do you dislike about footy, Jake? What's something that you just think, oh, jeez, this is... Don't say podcasts.
Nah, probably podcasts for the boys. Nah, I think when I first got into the system, I wasn't a big fan of appearances. That was probably something I had to really get used to. I'm a pretty quiet guy and, you know, you had to sort of put yourself out there and... I guess, you know, you got to address a lot of crowds and stuff like that. So that was really something I had to adjust to. I'm pretty comfortable doing that sort of stuff now, but that's where it took a little bit of time to get used to.
You were sort of thrusted into it. Did you go draft night? Like, you went up there with your brother and he got drafted and we all expected him to go fairly high and he did.
Yeah.
You're up there and Geelong call your name. Now, I was up there. I can remember you going, this wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
You were just there supporting your brother and the next thing you know, your name's called out and you're wearing a Geelong media polo and you've got media surrounding you wanting to know about Jake Colajasny.
Yeah, it was pretty bizarre. I actually spoke to Kevin Sheehan before the draft and he's like, oh, mate, we've got some interest probably around the second or third round for you. So just, you know, you've got to sit tight. Obviously, the Cade situation, he was touted to go pretty high. So I was just sort of had my fingers crossed the whole night. Hopefully, wasn't expecting big things or like to get drafted, but like... I think I was told Brisbane were pretty keen on me and they had a lot of picks in the second round and that sort of passed over and I was like, geez, you know, hopefully, just got to sit it out. Hopefully someone can, you know, pick me up and, you know, Geelong actually did. Eventually, pick 41 and I didn't actually speak to them a lot. I think I spoke to one of the assistants for probably 20 minutes at the combine and that was it. So it was very surprising to see my name get called out for Geelong. So
you're
obviously wrapped.
Yeah, you're obviously thrilled to get drafted, but it would have been a different dynamic with your twin brother. I mean, you've obviously grown up closely together, side by side for your whole life. Suddenly, he's on the Gold Coast and you're in Geelong, and that partnership gets split to a degree. Was that was that sort of difficult for you in the early years?
Yeah, it definitely was. We're pretty close, me and Cade. Like, we did everything together, like schooling, sport. You know, we hanged out all the time with our close mates, so it was pretty difficult early days. But you know, you sort of I think that the great thing about Geelong is that they got really great people in the footy club. I had some really great mates there and it was sort of kept my mind off things. And, you know, me and Cade used to call each other quite frequently in those probably first 2 years, probably once or twice a week.
Who are your mates? Who are your good mates at the club? Who are the three or four blokes you sort of
hang around? So, yeah, my ex-housemates who I used to live with when I was renting, Geordie Cunico and Nicole Cockatoo. I get along really well with Jed Buse. They're probably my top three. Parso as well, actually. They're probably my top four that I hang around with the club. They're really good mates of mine.
And Cade's obviously a lot closer now at Melbourne. He's had some injuries and concussions and all sorts of things, which is not great. Particularly, it's not just AFL footy. It's world sport, the NFL having problems with concussions. How's he tracking? And you know, obviously, it's good. I know that you come down to Balm Valley, you two, and launch the pill down there.
Oh, we try.
Quite regularly over summer. But how's he tracking with all those sorts of things? It's been a tough road for
him
to get Melbourne.
Yeah, it's been pretty up and down for the last 3 years for Cade. He was actually having a really good pre-season coming into this year, completed most of it, then he actually did his hamstring and a bit of tendon damage. So that sort of interrupted him for about 8 weeks there. And then he sort of built his way back up to footy and he sort of had the same stuff he's had previously, the concussion issues. It's been pretty difficult for him. He's missed long stints of footy. It's sort of hard to get that continuity. So he's pretty frustrated. And he's actually going to see some specialists this coming Saturday to hopefully narrow down what's actually going on and get some further advice. So hopefully, you know, he's got 2 years left on his contract. And I reckon he's definitely going to get some good footy ahead of in his next couple of years.
What are you, boys, 23?
He's 24.
24. So you're 24.
24.
Jeez,
yeah, man,
you're best young bucks, 24.
Hey, yeah, just to go real stalker, August 9.
Yeah, yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's lovely. There's a printer over there. You can print out those restraining orders. Jake, we see you as a player, or the fans see you as a player. You run out your number eight, you do your business and you get off. And, you know, you mentioned before that appearances and profiles not something that you're really that interested in. And that's not...
Yeah.
Some blokes love that side of it, some don't. So that's fantastic. But the fans probably don't know a whole lot about you. You obviously, your heritage is Ukrainian.
Yeah, that's
did
correct.
Your grandparents flee Ukraine after World War II? Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. But so my nan on my dad's side, she's actually Russian. So that's probably what a lot of fans probably don't know. So I've got my Ukrainian pop and my Russian nan. So they, each individually, they didn't actually know each other before they both fled to Australia. They actually met up in Australia, in Melbourne, and then eventually moved to Tassie, where my parents were born, and we all grew up down there. So, yeah.
What did they do when they came to Melbourne? Did they, in terms of work and those sorts of things? Because it's I'd imagine they fled when they were how old?
Oh, I couldn't exactly tell you, to be honest. I actually don't know a great deal of the history, because my pop passed away before I was born.
And, right.
They didn't actually like to speak of what they went through. I think it was pretty traumatic. They had some pretty heavy experiences from what Dad's told me. So it was all pretty hush-hush. It's pretty interesting.
Were your parents born in Tasmania?
Yes, they were.
Okay, so you grew up, you've lived your whole life in
Tassie. Yeah, yeah, okay. In Launceston.
So tell us about growing up playing footy for Prospect.
Yeah, for Prospect. Yeah, so I played Auskick early days, and I sort of went away from footy for a bit. I was just playing basketball and soccer with Cade, and all my mates at school were playing footy, and they encouraged me and Cade to get down to Prospect, and I think it was under 13s at that stage, and we started to pick up a footy again. Played there for about 3 years. We were lucky enough to play in three grand finals, and we won two of them. So we're pretty successful there. And I thought, oh, how good's footy? It's just easy. And then we eventually moved across to Launceston Footy Club, where we played at Colts level and played 2 years of senior footy there before we eventually got drafted. So, yeah, some great memories back there playing around.
Sorry, but is that Launceston in the TSL?
In the Tassie State League.
Yep, okay. Yep. And that standard of footy's pretty good.
Yeah, it's. I think it was really peaking sort of when we were trying to break into the seniors. Like, it was actually great footy to watch, and we had some great senior players to actually learn off and guide us as young fellas back then too.
So, did you have anybody that you sort of looked up to that went on before you out of sort of the Launceston area?
Yeah, well, we had Jackson Thurl and Jesse Lonergan striving to, you know, make the AFL, and they were obviously a year older than me and Cade, so we loved looking up to those guys. And the way they were handling things, especially with under-18s and the Tassie Mariners and all that sort of stuff. And, yeah, it was great to have those guys as sort of mentors.
So did Matty Armstrong, was he an influence on your career as a younger fella? I know he's heavily involved with Tassie footy and trying to get blokes to the next level. And was he involved with you two boys making it to the next level?
Yeah, Matty was he was based down in Hobart. So we didn't actually see a lot of Matty unless the whole state had to come together and train together. So we dealt with Adam Sanders a lot up in the north. So he was really good for me. You know, he did so much work with me in my fundamentals, my craft, and probably I'd say if it wasn't for him and his efforts he put into me and Cade, me especially, I probably wouldn't have even actually got to this level, I reckon.
So Cade was obviously always touted, well, you know, closer to the draft as a really high pick, and you were mentioning that, you know, you were talked about second, third round potentially. When you were coming through, was Cade always sort of slightly above you in the best when they named him in the paper, or how did that work?
Yeah, he was sort of always beat me to everything. Like, he was the first to debut in the seniors. He probably played in our first year of 18s. He played the more games. I only played, I think, two under 18 games in my first year for the state, representing the state, and he played all the games. And he was sort of just that one step ahead the whole time. Played in the OIS, and, you know, I was always trying to, you know, improve all the time, catch up to him, and it was really good. We all used to push each other at training all the time, and having him there, I think that was really beneficial.
Do you get to a point, though, that you go, I've just got to be my own person?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I feel like we were definitely different players. I was more key, he was more sort of the running half back. So it was, in that sort of sense, it was, we couldn't really get locked up and compare each other too much because we're probably completely different players.
What's the height difference? You're a little bit taller.
I'm only a couple centimetres taller, maybe two or three.
Okay. But just enough to be...
Yeah, just enough. But, like, I think I was probably naturally, like, filled out a bit more than Cade. Cade's pretty light.
Yep.
So that's...
What's the, Jake, the skinny kid that turned up from Tassie compared to the bloke that's sitting here, buffed up, just got the lid on, no shirt on? What do you weigh? Kingy usually does this in the nude, but he's put clothes on today because you're here. It's how laid back we are here at the podcast. You arrived from Tassie as a skinny kid. What do you weigh now? How much weight have you actually put on as to play the role you do in the back line?
My first ever weigh-in at the club, I think I was roughly about 87 kilos.
Did you give it the cobra after you got off?
Oh, hell no. There's not much to flex back then. But I'm roughly about 99 to 98 kilos now. So I put on about, 10 or so kilos. Wow. But gradually over the years, I've been at the footy club. So,
and aerobically, are you pretty strong aerobically? I mean, imagine to carry another 12 kilos. It's one thing to have its strength, but then you got to carry it around the ground.
Oh, I think that sort of second to 30, I definitely probably dropped back on my numbers and my time trials and stuff like that, because I was putting on the weight, and it took a bit of time to actually build up to what my, you know, my numbers have previously been. And I'm feeling pretty strong in that area now, like having six pre-seasons under my belt. I'm feeling comfortable at the weight and plus my running capabilities as well.
So it's all it's balanced out.
It's all balanced. I feel like it's all balanced out.
It takes time, though, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Were you given sort of carte blanche to eat whatever you wanted to at a stage where they go, look, just eat, put some weight on, and we'll work on the muscle as we go and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what the dietitians are elite at the footy clubs. They're awesome to sort of lean on and give you that sort of advice you need for your nutrition, and giving you that good balance as well.
Got that memo too. I just took it a bit far.
Is there a food that you really like but you just have to avoid?
My guilty pleasure is ice cream. Like, if there was one thing I wanted to treat myself with weekly, it'd have to be ice cream.
Are you that strict with your diet that you say you don't eat? I remember Nathan Buckley saying that his passion was twisties, but he wouldn't have twisties during the footy season at all. Like, he wouldn't have one bag.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but he would in the off season, obviously. But are you that strict with your diet?
I'm not. I like to be, just because my size and stuff. Like, I'm pretty careful to try to put on more weight, because I reckon if I do sort of get over that 100 kilo mark, I will start to feel it out on the footy ground and my running capability. So just probably the timing. Like, if I'm going to have a main training, or, you know, obviously a footy game the next day, I can load up, you know, have a few carbs and stuff like that. But just cutting back on days off, like days like today, just watching my carb intake. And then,
have you ever finished a tub of ice cream in one sitting?
Oh, definitely. It's hard to say.
A 2 litre or a 4 litre?
Nah. This is like, oh,
or the little round tubs.
Oh, I couldn't even tell you how big they are, but not the big ones. No way.
So when the gelati van goes past your joint with the butt, you're at
someone's
got
to restrict me.
You're pushing kids out of the way.
Yeah, that's it.
Get out of the way.
I'm that guy.
We talk. I've been, and King, you'll back me up here, I've been one of your biggest fans coming through. Saying,
it's a little bit obsessive.
No,
actually,
just people get so impatient with players, and everyone thinks everyone's going to be Joel Selwood that came in and was first year, and it's just not the case. It just doesn't happen like that. And probably the biggest example of that, I reckon, is someone who plays in a role similar to yours is Dylan Grimes.
Yeah,
he took him some time to find his feet. He's one of the best defenders in the competition now, but he's probably played, Kingy might be able to look it up, but it's probably 150 games. I'm only thinking off the top of my head. So I used to say, you just got to give guys time. It's like same with Asava Radigalia. He's just got to find a way to get to 70 games before it all comes together. Do you think
Absolutely. That
fans get a little impatient as to the progress of players? And I know even with you two, maybe last year and the year before, you were sort of getting played out of position a little bit, which is good for your development, but potentially not so good for you in terms of just output on that day.
Yeah.
So just getting that package together now, do you feel like at 90 games you've got bases covered, and your best footy now is probably for the next 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I think probably the more games you do play, the more comfortable you do get. It's all just experience. Like, I think my third year, I was playing on predominantly small forwards, and that was probably a learning year as well. And because Scullo's ideal plan was for me to be able to play on anyone, you know, keys, smalls. So I'm feeling really comfortable in that sort of position now. I'm happy, actually. I spent that year on the smalls, and it's really helped my development all around. And, you know, like you said, like, the more games you do play, the more comfortable you do get. The familiar you are with the system, the slower the game becomes to you. You just see everything beautiful, like, a lot differently, and you can help your teammates more. So,
does the game slow down a bit for you?
I think so. Just because obviously the older you get, the more physically prepared you are, and you know, for the high intensity games, like, you're not gassed the whole time. You can see clearly, and your decisions are a lot clearer as well.
And it makes, obviously, too, from that fan's perspective, you're just having that patience for players and then, you know, reaping the benefits of that. And you know, the Geelong are obviously doing that with you. And there's a number of other players who have taken quite some time to find their feet. And when they do, everything really takes off. But you've got a defence that has some players sort of in your mould as well, like, you know, Tommy Stewart, who's probably his development's been fast-tracked, a little bit older. But Mark O'Connor's another one who we've seen improve this year each week. He just seems to – you can actually visibly see his improvement.
Absolutely.
You know, Jed comes in and plays his role, even though he missed a lot of the preseason. So you've got a lot of guys who – in terms of the defence, I know Harry Taylor's the veteran there, but you've got a lot of blokes whose best footy is actually still in front of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the most exciting part. Us as a group, we can all grow up together and mature and, you know, really build that sort of bond and the way we go about it on the ground. It's really great.
148 games for Dylan Grimes, Benny.
Yeah, well, there you go. So his last 50 have been... Absolutely fantastic.
But for most Richmond blokes, their last 50 have been pretty good.
Well, true. But if you just looked at his career, I reckon his first 60 or 70, he was up and down.
Yeah,
he'd have good games, he'd have bad games, and you got to just wear those growing pains with players because not everybody is Chris Judd or Joel Selwood or those blokes who come in and can instantly have an impact week in, week out. And that's my point about, you know, even with Radicalia, some Geelong fans jump up and down. He might have a game where he doesn't touch the ball a lot. Well, that's going to happen.
He's only played 20 games.
He's a kid.
Yeah.
So he doesn't necessarily need to touch the ball to have an influence as long as he's competing. But he's not going to kick four goals every week and have it 15 times. It's just not going to happen. But you got to find a way to be patient and get him to 70 games, which unfortunately takes time. It's going to be 3 or 4 years away.
Good news is Dylan Grimes has kicked 3 goals, so you've got every chance by about a game 150 of having at least 2 or 3 under your belt. Talk to us about Scarlo, and we talk about Humphrey Bear of the Geelong and not doing a lot and not having a profile and stuff like Scarlo was gold at that. Like, he very rarely spoke publicly. But his influence on you since he's come back to the club, he had that obviously little stint at the Dogs after he retired. But I think basically your arrival coincided with him coming back to the club. Am I right?
Pretty much, I think. Yeah. Maybe a year or two before he came back.
Yep.
Ever since he's been back, he's been massive for me. He sort of took me under his wing and said I had the potential to be a really great defender, and you know, he's obviously spent a lot of time with me, working on all parts of my game, you know, telling me what I need to do in the gym, how to prepare for big games, just fundamentals, all those little things that, you know, he was such a good at as a player, he's trying to install into me, which is really great.
Ideal world, Jake, do you prefer to play on a smaller opponent? I know you probably say you don't really care, but if you had your pick, would you prefer to play on somebody who's more your size or somebody who's a bit smaller or even somebody who's maybe taller?
Yeah, overall I'm not too fast, but I think obviously the best matchup for me would probably be someone similar to my size. Just because it'd be just a perfect matchup, ideal situation for the team as well. But, you know, like I said, I'm comfortable to play on, you know, smalls, talls, mediums, the lot, which is, yeah, that's where I wanted to get to.
Do you get nervous?
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Do you? So let's say, and there's every chance you might play on Jordan DeGoey, who is the sort of bloke who mightn't touch the ball for 2 quarters and then kick 4 goals in about half a minute.
Yep.
So do you, if you're, let's say you're preparing for somebody like, let's go back a step. Do you like to know pretty early on in the week who you might play on?
Yeah, so it depends who we're playing. If I have a role, I do like to know early. Sometimes going into a game, I'll just have to play on anyone. You know, a lot of teams do flip around with midfielders and forwards, and you got to play on all sort of types. But yeah, if I was to play on a specific player and have a role during the week, I would like to know early.
And obviously, the way the modern game is played, you tend not to have that matchup for the whole game. But somebody like a DeGoey, when he's potentially deep forward, you're the man that goes to him. How much of it is, do you watch vision of that player that you're going to play? Do you watch a lot or do you not watch a lot? So you're not filled with too much information?
Yeah, I usually just like to watch probably the previous 2 games of the specific matchup that I have. That probably just gives me enough information on how they're going, what their form's like, all their sort of leading patterns and stuff, and all the structures and all the stuff they've been doing recently, which is good.
So when you're breaking, when you're looking at a player, do you look at, what are you looking at, your starting point for him in certain situations? Are you looking at whether he swings left or right when he gets the ball? What sort of things are you looking at?
Yeah, I really love the starting points. That's probably a big one for me. At stoppages, all over the ground, you know, whether it's in the middle of the ground, D50 especially, for the guys like that, they're pretty dangerous. They're probably go-tos in situations like that and where I can start my positioning around the ground. So that's a really good one for me.
And how much then that obviously plays into the fact that you've got to have the fitness, because the fitness then gives you the clarity mentally to be able to think late in the game where I need to be. And I imagine getting fatigued not only impacts skills, but it impacts your capacity to think clearly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, so that, I suppose that's where the whole package of time, of getting the fitness, getting the strength, having all that package come together so that when it's called upon, you can think, oh, late in the game, I need to be here and just stop something. Is that
That's exactly right. That's what we do all this hard work for, you know, the pre-seasons, all the conditioning and stuff. It all comes down for those big moments, and so obviously we're feeling really fresh and clear, exactly what you said, clear thinking in the mind and making sure we're doing all the right decisions.
Do you analyse with somebody or do you do it by yourself?
I just like to do it by myself. I think when I was probably first getting mentored by Scala, I would sit down and actually watch with players, and he'd sort of give me tips on what to look for and the ways of going about it. So now that I've done it for a while now, I'm pretty comfortable doing it by myself.
So let's say you're playing on Jordan De Goe. I think you might have played on him a little bit when the Cats played in round one.
Yep, yeah. In round one.
So
yep.
Let's say he's the matchup, and he, I mean, he's the obvious one for you, size and strength. He's about your size. He's a dynamic sort of player. He's explosive, all those sorts of things. Do you, coming into a game like that, do you think I need to lock on a little bit more to somebody like a De Goe, whereas if you're playing on a somebody else who maybe not have the name, I know that's not being disrespectful to them, but who's not a De Goe, do you think I might be able to sort of drift off and become more of a part of the attacking side of the defence?
I actually like to think of everyone that I play on, I give them like the same respect as I would a De Goe. I don't really like to sort of sit off a hell of a lot. Like, it's probably just the way I've been installed with Scalo's defensive mindset. And I try to treat everyone with the same respect. So,
would Cat Attack podcast listeners would shoot us if we didn't ask actually how you were, because you did miss the Carlton game. Can you give us an update just on the hip and your hopes for in 10 days' time to be there at the G?
Yeah, so it was a little bit of a funny one. So I had a bit of like irritation going into the Brisbane game, but speaking with the physios during the week, I was pretty happy to play, and so were they. They were comfortable with that decision. Then I sort of probably stirred it up a little bit post that game. And so I've been on pretty light duties for the last week, and I'm slowly starting to build up into running now. So I think I've got roughly about 10 days until the final. So
yep.
I've still got plenty of time to, you know, put my case forward and get plenty of good fitness going into that game.
You were limping late in that game. Was that a result of the hip or was that something else?
No, I actually nearly hyperextended my knee. So I just got a little bit of bone bruising from the results from the scan. So all the ligaments and stuff were clear. It was just from that incident. It wasn't so much the hip.
Did you think at the time you'd done something a bit more serious?
Oh, I did. I was actually pretty worried just because the way I was coming down, and no, it was all pretty nerve-wracking. But I think I knew straight away that it was pretty good. It was just a bit sore from the contact of just the bones crushing.
How many games this year, Jake, did you run out thinking, geez, I feel good today, rather than feel, jeez, I feel like a bag of shit?
I'm saying probably three quarters of the game I felt really good. But you're obviously going to have those days where you're feeling a little bit off physically and mentally, but you just got to push through.
What do you watch on TV?
On TV,
what's the one thing you watch on television religiously?
What's your binge watch?
Yeah, my binge watch. What's something I like? I really love Stranger Things on Netflix. That's probably been the one show that I've really sat down and I've actually just binged it. I just couldn't stop watching it.
What goes on in that?
It's a different one. So it's based in the 80s. There's got these young kids and it's got like aliens and all that sort of stuff in it. Like, I'm not sure if you two are into that
Star
sort of stuff.
Star Trek but, sort of style, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Captain Picard's not in it, is he?
Yeah. It's a little bit different, but that's something I just sort of got hooked. It took a while to build into, but probably after the back end of season one, I was hooked.
Are we finding out why now you live by yourself?
Yeah. No, a few boys quite enjoy it as well. It's
okay.
Not just me.
All right. So if you weren't an AFL player, what would you be doing?
Oh, that's a great question. I reckon if I was, I'd probably be working with my old man in the joinery shop. He's a joiner who works for himself for a number of years now, and I reckon I'd probably be been his handyman, to be honest.
We need to hook him up with Justin Longmuir.
Yeah, well, you know Justin Longmuir makes tables. So
beautiful.
The next coach of Freo, K-Rock's only Justin.
The next coach. Do you know something about
Justin? Well, he'd be nuts.
Didn't St Kilda talk to him as well?
Yeah, I think so. He's on the radar. K-Rock's put him on the map.
Yeah, he's been working. He's a ripper. Yeah. Been working with us.
So your mum and dad still live in Tassie?
They actually moved up to Gold Coast just because my sister, who's moved up to Toowoomba, has been there probably since 4 years ago. So they just followed Cade and my sister up there, and they've been living up there ever since, actually, even though Cade's moved back. My sister's still up there. But, they're loving the life up there.
So how often do they see you play?
They looked at, like, probably come down probably twice during the regular season, but they try to get down to every final if we are in the finals, just because of their work and stuff. So it makes it a bit harder.
So if you're on, death row,
oh, okay,
what would be your last meal?
I think you'd say what was the crime?
What would be my last meal? Jeez, I'm a big sushi man. Oh, I really love sushi.
What goes into it though?
Smoked salmon sushi and some tuna avocado.
Oh, yeah, tuna avocado.
Yeah, with just wrapped in the old seaweed.
I love it. It's probably my favourite food, I reckon, sushi. So.
And watch when you go down to the club. Do they still have the Brad Otten's Bay Marie there, the Memorial Bay Marie? That because Otto apparently only comes down when the Bay Marie's open. Yeah, he doesn't come down to the club unless it's open. So, is that still going down there? Who used to do the chefing down there?
Adrian.
Adrian, yeah.
Is he still whipping up a storm?
Yeah.
So is that every day or is that just once a week?
It's probably on our main day. So when we're in for probably twice a week when we're in for a full day, he comes in and whips up a storm. You know, he's got everything there, like salads,
the
veggies,
whole lot.
Meats, risottos, everything.
So he's good.
He's unbelievable.
What's his specialty then? What's Adrian? What does he do well
at? Oh, everything, mate. Oh, I love his chicken schnitzels. He whips up those. They're a treat. All his meats and stuff, they're beautiful as well. The beef, the lamb. Oh. That's my fancy.
Jeez. It's only 9:30, but I'm sort of got.
Have you got a pet?
Drooling.
Recently just got a dog, a little Rottweiler.
So what would the dog say about you if it could talk?
Oh, jeez, it wouldn't be very good because she's pretty naughty at the moment. So she's been getting put in line of recent. So
what's her name?
Lola.
So it's just Lola and you. And how old's Lola?
She's about 14, 15 weeks now.
Right, so what does she like to destroy?
Oh, she's a chewer. Oh, she's the worst thing she's done. She started eating into the skirting boards around the front door when I wasn't watching her. And yeah, that's probably the worst thing she's done so far. So
is this a rental?
Nah, this is actually my house.
Okay,
so I was filthy.
That's okay.
But yeah, she's been good though.
Other sports? Do you watch anything else? Is there anything else? Like, I know a lot of the boys are into their NFL or their NBA and stuff like that. Is something that you make sure you've got either you set the recorder for or you make sure you're home for?
Yeah, I'm a massive NBA fan. I really enjoy watching that during the year when it's on. And I've been sort of slowly getting into NFL. I watched Hard Knocks, the Hard Knocks series on the Cleveland Browns last year, and that really intrigued me. And I've been sort of following them a little bit this year, and it's probably the two big ones I like to follow.
So the Oakland Raiders this year is Hard Knocks.
Yep.
So they've been following the circus that is Antonio Brown.
Is that their last year in Oakland? They go to Vegas next year?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
Yeah.
The you got the Tennessee Volunteers hoodie on. Given to you, or you actually follow Tennessee?
So there was a group of us that went over to America last year, and we decided to go watch a college game of football. And you know, Tennessee, the jumper that I'm wearing now, we decided to go watch them play. They were versing Alabama.
Yep,
they were the best team in the country
at
the time, and it was a bit of a bloodbath. They absolutely smashed them.
Yep.
But yeah, it was great atmosphere, and I'm definitely thankful we went and watched them.
Are they the Longhorns?
Tennessee, no. Texas are the Longhorns. Oh, Tennessee are the Volunteers.
Volunteers, yeah.
I think is that where Ricky Fowler, did he go to, they wear orange? Because he wears orange all the time.
I think so.
On the last day of the majors, he always wears orange.
Yep. If he gets there.
He usually gets there. He just, unfortunately, shits a diff when he gets there. When he gets into a position to win. And usually my Bugs Bunny is on Ricky and he folds up like a Chinese deck chair, which is, he can play though.
He can seriously play.
What's your... Obviously, you miss out on a fair bit. You sacrifice a fair bit to be an AFL player. What are the three things on your bucket list to do when you're no longer playing AFL footy? What are the three sporting events you'd like to go to?
Oh, I'd love to go see an NBA playoff, potentially a Game 7 if I could. That would be definitely high up on the list. I don't know if you guys have seen the Tomorrowland Music Festival. It's pretty epic. It's over in Belgium in Europe. That would be another one I reckon I'd love to go see. And probably the third one would be a Super Bowl, I reckon. The atmosphere there and, you know, the halftime shows and all that looks absolutely amazing.
So what's your music? You just mentioned music there. Obviously, like your music. What blows your hair back? Are we talking people who play instruments? Or are we talking people who press buttons?
It's a bit of everything. Like, I don't mind the old DJ set. But I love everything. I haven't really got a specific genre that I really like.
What about old style? What do you like that's old style?
Old style? I don't
Pearl
know.
Pearl Jam?
Oh, I wouldn't have a clue, mate. I'm not too big on the old style, mate. Sorry.
No old style?
Mate, ACDC.
Tell me you've heard of Pearl
good.
Jam.
No, I haven't.
You've never heard of Pearl Jam?
I've never heard of Pearl Jam.
The band?
No, I haven't.
Oh, dear.
Right, we'll wrap it up now.
Yeah.
Finish it. Right,
so.
Okay, I highly recommend when you leave here, head to JB Hi-Fi, go and get a copy of Pearl Jam's 10, and just play it start to finish.
Okay.
And there's a secret track at the end. Don't just yeah, hot best 20 bucks or whatever like CD costs these days.
Depends what you're into though, but it is. I'm
gobsmacked.
24 and never heard of Pearl Jam. Eddie Vedder, never heard of Eddie Vedder.
No.
Okay. Well, this is quite extraordinary. This is something you need to just... Yeah. You'll have plenty of time at home with you and Lola. Just when you...
Yeah.
Tonight when you're just Googling on the couch.
Do you know what? From now on, this bloke will just be referred to as number 8.
We'll have to... yeah, that is quite extraordinary. So what is Tomorrowland, obviously, there's plenty of job. Imagine there'd be some Labradors who do a bit of sniffing out the front as you're sort of trundling through the gates.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely, yeah, I reckon.
Is it bigger than Ben-Hur, is it?
Oh, mate, it's a big setup. I'm saying there's 200,000 people that attend the festival.
And how many of them do you think are thinking clearly?
Oh, not many. Not many.
So I wanted to put you the test here, Jake. If I take over the back line, okay, for the game against the Pies.
Oh dear. And you're sitting. It's going to end badly.
No, you're sitting there in the front stalls with your number 8 on, and you got the. By the way, do you still use the? The list of, what is it? What do you call it?
The oil.
Yeah, do you still put the oil on?
Absolutely.
Does anybody do that?
Nah.
Who does
that? You used to, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
The liniment.
No, I didn't.
Oh, are you sure?
I never use it.
You're a bit shiny.
Nah.
Who does? There's got to be somebody that puts it on.
What's that?
There's got to be somebody that puts it on.
Oh, geez. Off the top of my head, I'm not too sure. Is it available? I don't know if ever used it. No. It would be if someone asked, but I don't think actually anyone's ever put their hand up. I remember Big Bud used to always wear it when we used to play him. He's very slippery.
Just you get because I used to just keep you warm as a kid. He used to keep you warm in the mornings. That's why it originally started, I think. And then it just. So anyway, you're in the front stalls. Okay. You're covered in it. Okay. And if I'm putting the defense up to play on people, okay. So I've got you playing on DeGoey.
Yeah.
You happy with that?
Yeah.
I've got Jed Buse playing on Elliot.
Yeah.
Who's been in good form, 8 goals in the last 2 weeks. Blitzar's playing on Brody Majacek, who will potentially be their only tall if Darcy Moore doesn't play.
Or Moore play down back, though.
Well, Darcy Moore may not play because he injured his hamstring. Mm. So he's... I don't know.
But if Moore plays, he'll play down back.
He'll play, which means Roughhead would play up forward, which means Harry Taylor probably plays on Roughhead. But if he doesn't play there, then there's... there's not an obvious matchup for Harry Taylor. Mark O'Connor playing on Josh Thomas.
Yep.
We happy with that one?
Yep.
And Jack Henry playing on Will Hoskin-Elliott.
Yeah.
Which means Tommy Stewart plays as the sort of seventh, a lot of teams like to play a seventh defender and allow him to try and be an attacking defender, if that's the way you want to go. The problem, I suppose, not a problem, and it's a good problem to have for the Cats, is that you've probably got one too many good defenders and it's very difficult to fit everybody into the one team. I know like Zach Tuohy's been playing up forward the last couple of weeks, so it makes it awkward. I know you probably last year, even the last couple of years, got sort of squeezed out of the defence and had to play up the ground.
Yep.
So it's a really interesting, it's a good problem to have, but it's an interesting one for the match committee to get it right on the day and get the right mix.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a bit of a headache come match committee if we're all available for selection. With Reggie going forward and, someone's going to have to miss out. So it's just that time of year, the pointy end, and hopefully they can get it right and get the right matchups.
Couple more before we let you go. Apparently you need to tell us, I texted one of your teammates last night and he didn't give me much at all. In fact, he gave me absolutely donuts. But he did say that you need to tell us about the experience in Queenstown.
Oh, who is this? This is Jed, isn't it?
No.
It's not.
No.
Oh.
So what happened in Queenstown?
Is this not R-rated,
is it?
It's probably not great for the podcast, but it was just a footy trip at the end of the year. All the boys, we went to Queenstown. It was sort of an organised trip. We had like a few organised things to do, like an amazing race and stuff like that, including like, bar stops. It was some funny stuff there, but... it was just a good time with the lads.
No, what happened?
It was a good time with
Come
the lads.
Come on. Something happened, didn't it?
Oh, there's probably, yeah.
Well, give us, you got to tell us. Come on.
Let's just say one of the boys may have passed out on the street and they might have slept the night there.
Right.
May or may not have been me.
Oh, so you let your hair right down.
Yeah, so that was probably fresh after the season, after the Best and Fairest. We all flew out this... in the morning, at the 4 o'clock in the morning flight.
You basically don't go to bed, do you?
Nah. So we did an all-nighter from the Best and Fairest and flew out early that morning, the same morning, so it was a very dusty flight. I'm going to say the worst flight of my life.
You were
and it's only 3 hours.
Yeah, it's only 3 hours, and I was
in a lot of
I was in all sorts.
You were green.
Yes.
Were you?
I was.
And then you passed out.
Yeah, I probably had an hour's sleep and the rest was horrible.
Okay. So anyway, look, we really appreciated you giving up your time.
We threw him under the bus to finish, didn't we?
No, it was all
come on, Benny.
Yeah, you got to let your hair down every now and then. You're front and square in the defence, or you'd be mentally... You got to be able to let down both physically and mentally post-season.
Benny's been known to let down occasionally.
I've let down a couple of times. It
hasn't ended well either.
No, not these days. I'm the eternal...
Just type Benny's name into Google.
The eternal flame. I don't go out so well. But look, we really appreciate giving up your time. Congratulations on the home and away. It's been a really good one for the Cats. Like I said at the start, I don't think too many people probably had the Cats penciled in to finish the minor premiership, and it's been a great ride you've given Cat fans. The unfortunate thing is it guarantees you absolutely nothing now, doesn't it? The clock resets, and absolutely. You've got to go again, and you've got a great opportunity, healthy list, some good players in form, and you finished off the season really well against the Pies. So all Cat fans will be jumping on your back for the next 4 weeks, and hopefully that ride finishes, I think it's September 28th. At the MCG with the Cats holding the flag or the Premiership Cup aloft. So well done on your year. Good luck for the rest of the finals.
Awesome. Thanks very much, guys.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisa dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. Kerr'sHire.com.au.
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Cat Attack podcast on iTunes.